each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Good afternoon, loyal listeners. Producer Nick starting off here with Tony. Father Anthony should be on his way down. How are you today, Tony?
This is weird.
It is a little bit there, but we're filling the rack here for him. It's okay, but he should be down in a little bit there.
He probably got caught up doing something. It's the way it is.
Yeah, no, it's okay. He's got a lot of things to take care of and a lot of business to take care of today.
It's always the case.
No, it's all right. But how have you been? It's your kind of day outside
today. Yes, I love it. It's nice out here. I really like this.
Well, yeah, because the rain is falling down, and everybody's been talking about, you know, how the weather is going to be, how it's either cold and how it was nice over the weekend, and then suddenly it gets to drop down in the 40s and
stuff
like that,
too. I was kind of hoping to have weather like this. I really do like it.
Kind of hoping?
Yeah, I do. I like when it rains.
Well, I know rainy days are your favorite thing to be doing and all that, so that's pretty cool to see and pretty good to be doing as well. So, that's awesome about that. But other than that, I mean, we're just trying to hopefully, you know, get things going around here. I know Father Anthony starts off with a prayer usually, but he should be on his way down, or I know that he's probably getting caught up with stuff. But you still helping out with things here and there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is the parish, and parish life is always unique. And there's Armin.
Yeah, just what then?
It's always good
to
see Armin.
Armin, how are you?
Fine, actually.
This is a weird dynamic.
Well, no, it's kind of a nice surprise to see everybody together like this here.
Well, here we go.
And ladies and gentlemen, no further ado.
And here's the man himself, ladies and gentlemen.
Man of the hour.
Welcome to your show.
Is it already on?
Yeah, you're on. Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Oh.
Yeah, and then Armin came in.
Okay. We've been on for 3 minutes.
You got to be kidding.
No, I knew. That's it, Father. All right. Father, I quit.
Something happened to my watch.
Just kidding.
Are we on? Yes,
we are.
Are we on?
Yes.
Yeah, you're on the air.
I'm having a mild.
We are broadcasting now.
Well, this is. I'll tell you, this is what we call the pandemic fog.
Right. Forget pandemic. I'm having a slight heart attack here.
Jeez, I'm so sorry. It sure is. Something must be wrong with my watch.
Right, right.
Okay.
Who's always coming in late? Was it me? It used to be me, right?
Yeah.
Armin?
Well, see, you've been well trained.
Exactly.
Well, it's good to see you, Armin. And
same here.
You could have taken over, you know. So
no.
Nick was doing a good job over here.
Nick was good. He jumped right in.
Tony, I just said.
I quit. I'm done.
But I heard this morning on the radio that people are sick and tired of being told stay safe.
Yeah.
They just want to be told stay sane. Stay sane, you know. And it's there's a truth to that. So
yeah.
Let's begin with if I can find it here.
The prayer.
Yes. 3 minutes
Nick was going to do the prayer.
Well, I am so sorry. I didn't realize. It must be my watch.
Yeah. It's the fault of your watch.
No, I'm telling you, right?
Because
okay. We believe you. Sure, we don't believe your watch.
Okay. Ah, jeez. This is the first time this has happened.
This is the first time.
I think.
Which I'm kind of happy.
And never let it happen again.
In this way. And never let it happen. And it would happen to be the day that Armin's here. Right?
Yep. Armin says you're fired.
Jeez. Anyway, let's pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ, our Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, a world without end. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, well, it's a good thing I don't swear, because I didn't know if you were for real or not.
You came in all calm, like, hey, what's going
on
here?
I thought I had 5 minutes yet.
Que pasa?
Que pasa? Anyway, wow, geez. So, Armin, how are you doing?
I'm fine.
What do you think of all this that's going on?
Well, I think that our religious liberty and other civil liberties granted by the Constitution are being trampled.
Exactly.
In a big way.
And it's unacceptable, and I'm glad Attorney General Barr is beginning to react to that.
What's he doing? I haven't heard.
He's joining some lawsuits that have been brought by some churches in some states, and it looks like they're going to go to court.
Good. Yeah, I sent an email message to some of the bishops, and, well, I just, you know, we've got this huge church here, and even when the week when the masses were suspended, but we could have the church open. I upped the confessional time. I saw people come and go, and people, you know, they kept more than enough. And I explained also, I said we purposely, when we did the restoration, I had the pews wider. There's a lot. So somebody with a walker can actually. So there's ample space. I mean, we've got. But this is
it's ridiculous. Here's the thing. A church service is non-essential. It's one of the first freedoms in the Constitution. And yet, because churches have been listed as non-essential, they can't be frequented. However, if you want to buy a screwdriver at Home Depot,
sure.
You can do that as long as you maintain safe social distances. So there's...
Well, if you want to have an abortion...
Oh yeah, that too. Yeah.
That's okay. That's essential. That's an essential.
But if you need cancer surgery, oh, that might not be not essential.
The weirdest. This is the strangest time we're living in. It is like the Twilight Zone. I did mean to talk about this when I started. I mean, I've got a number of things here, but I did want to. I wanted to begin with the prayer right at noon, but that didn't work. And I do think that. There's, you know, first of all, nobody wants to put anybody at risk. You know, you just don't want to put anybody at risk.
Certainly.
But so naturally, you listen closely to what people are telling you. And, you know, if we use common sense, we keep, you know, safe space, I hate to use the word safe space because it has another, that's... another.
I see the image of a snowflake.
Well, okay, yeah, exactly. But
maybe more than one.
But it's social distancing or whatever.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
But then you hear this from the other side. I mean, you're kind of confused as to what to believe, what not to believe. You got to use common sense. I just read this morning that of these two boys who dropped dead playing basketball because of the masks they were wearing. You know, and I mean, I'll tell you. The other day, I went to the post office. I go to the one down to the big one on Harrison, or is that Harrison, right? And I wanted to I like because I know it's the mail's going to go out right away, right? So The elevator, now this is the second time in maybe 2 weeks or 3 weeks that I've been there. The first time one elevator was only one elevator was working. They've got two elevators. You have to go to the second floor. The first time one elevator was out of order. So everybody's in this one, but I think there was just myself and one other person. And we, of course, we had masks.
Right.
And by the way, I didn't realize that this is the law now in Illinois, right?
Well, it's not a law. It's an executive order. Therein lies the difference.
I thought you'd get a fine if you didn't have a mask.
Well, see, this is another thing. How much authority does an emergency situation afford a governor where it can supersede due process? And that is the issue.
Okay, so... But anyway, to make the point that I wanted to make was I was there the other day to the post office, and both elevators are out of order. This is a government, right, run facility. And so I had to go up actually three flights of stairs because you got the lower level, then you got right. The first floor, then you got the second floor.
I think you can sue somebody. That's what I would do.
No, I wouldn't do that.
Just say.
But the point is I go up and down the stairs here all the time. I've got one, two, three, four, three flights of stairs that I'm going up and down all the time without any problem.
So you never have to pay for a Stairmaster.
No, no, I don't. I do not. I've got an elliptical and a rebounder, and so I've got good lungs, I think.
Who needs that when you got all these stairs?
Yeah, right. But the point is that I'm wearing the mask, and by the time I got to the top of the to the second floor, which was really the third flight. Right. I was completely out of breath and breathing. So, I mean, it was like my chest. I thought, gosh, do I have the virus or what, you know? And then I realized I've got this mask on.
You didn't have the virus. You had the mask.
I had the mask. So when I read today that these two young kids dropped dead playing basketball because they're wearing the mask, it doesn't surprise me. It doesn't surprise me. I'm not saying that, we shouldn't wear the mask. No. When I look at, in fact, that's why, because I try to take a ride maybe once a day. Sometimes I don't, but if I get the chance, I do. And I mean, everything is an effort these days. I go all over the place, but the point I was going to make is that everybody outside was wearing a mask. Okay, that's okay. That's fine. And then somebody said, well, that's the law. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. But, and you kind of clarified that, but
it's
in
like if you want to go someplace, especially stores, and around people, have the mask.
I do it out of respect for others,
So now you're forced to do that, even if you do believe that okay, you may be safe, but okay, somebody looks at you funny because you're not doing what everybody else is getting in line to do. Then
which explains why when I went to put gas in the car the other day, I went in. It was a Monday, maybe Sunday, Monday, because this was after May 1st, because I was told May 1st is when this all went into effect. And so I went to, and of course the gentleman in the back, the clerk or whatever. He's behind the glass, but he's wearing a mask. But the look he gave me, I guess it's because I didn't have the mask. I was doing something illegal, because I heard that you could be fined for that.
In Chicago.
Anyway, but I did, are you familiar with Epoch Times?
Yes, I love the Epoch Times.
Oh, I found it. I talked about this on the radio. I listen to that every night. It's only like maybe 22 minutes, Crossroads with Joshua Phillip. I find it very interesting. But I somehow came on it, the origins of the coronavirus. So I had mentioned that even in the homily that this is, and I think I've mentioned on the radio that it's, it seems that this did come out of a laboratory and that it was the manipulation of a bat for the purpose creating this virus that would afflict human beings, right?
And they did it without the bat's permission, too.
Right. And they did it without the bat's permission.
How dare they?
In fact, I was, I mentioned it in the homily, and so we're live streaming, so there's, I heard that there were commentary and all that, and somebody said, how could you call a bat demonic when, that's God's creation and all that? Well, I don't know. It looks very demonic to me, so the bat itself.
He's going to sue you for that.
The bat could use some cosmetic surgery.
I kind of like the way the bat looks.
But that specific bat has fangs. Did you notice that?
I think most bats.
The bat looked a little like Bela Lugosi.
Right.
Okay.
Like Bela Lugosi.
Okay.
He's dead.
I don't know who that is. Who is it?
He was the original. Well, he was the second Dracula. The
oh, okay,
one who popularized
okay.
it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, it's just the whole thing is crazy. But the but on Epoch News is the final point that I wanted to make, and then we'll take the break since Armin's here. Otherwise, we just go on and on.
But which the, you guys didn't see right, in Radio Land.
Exactly.
Armin
right.
did the break.
He
sign.
Did the break sign,
and we obey.
15
when
minutes,
here.
You know. But the. But he was Joshua Phillip at the end of the program. This was last week. He said, "Now listen," and maybe I may have mentioned this on the radio. I don't remember, but because I'm exactly in that state, I guess I always am. But he said, "Listen," he says, "if you're feeling," and he was quoting this psychologist or psychiatrist or somebody in the field of mental health, and he says, "If you feel you're in a fog." If you're disoriented, if you can't get out of bed in the morning, if you don't know what day it is, you're normal. That's the new normal. So
yeah, anybody, that was me before all of this. So I guess I am normal.
You mean even before you?
Well,
I'm saying perhaps.
There's one thing. At least you're consistent.
Right.
Exactly. Right.
And on time.
And on time. Thank God. Okay, we'll take a break because Armin's here. Don't go away. We'll be right back on Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen, Support, Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Here's an open letter to the parishioners of St. Stanislaus Kostka from Father Anthony Bush. Due to the social unrest in Chicago, I have closed St. Stanislaus Kostka until further notice. The area around the Three Corners area, the streets of Milwaukee Division and Ashland, have been severely damaged and looted. The last thing we want is to put anyone at risk. The area around St. Stanislaus Kostka is considered high risk for violence, and the streets are blocked to curtail unnecessary movement. We are in a high-risk area along with many neighborhoods and communities in Chicago. St. Stanislaus Kostka is under security surveillance. Until further notice, St. Stan's will not live stream the Mercy Hour. Everyone should stay home and not venture into the area around St. Stanislaus Kostka. Please be assured of my prayers for peace and the restoration of order in Chicago and throughout the nation. I know you are praying as well.
The Winds of Change. The Winds of Change. On AM 750, WNDZ.
Because of the unprecedented COVID-19 virus pandemic, the Providence Soup Kitchen at St. Stan's needs your immediate help. The Soup Kitchen is asking for your donations of water, juice boxes, individual food servings, hand sanitizers, and Lysol. The Providence Soup Kitchen at St. Stan's is operating regular hours during this pandemic. The Soup Kitchen is operated by the Daughters of St. Mary Providence from the basement of St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, which serves over 21,000 meals per year. To offer your help, please call Sister Darlene at 773-870-2435. That number again is 773-870-2435. 2435. Thank you.
So you know you're going to get me in trouble, Armin, right? With that? Though I agree. Right?
Well, I mean, it's pretty obvious. You have to be living under a rock if that can't be perceived.
Yeah, this whole thing stinks. It really does. And again, this is not in any way to diminish the gravity of the situation with the virus and all that. The last thing anybody wants to do is put anybody in at risk. But you know, we got it. We are commonsensical people. I think most of us are. I would hope, and kind of know what to do. Got to wash your hands. Keep your hands away from your face. Social distancing. If you've got underlying conditions or you're if you're an older person, but I heard some older people say, you know, but I'm, you know, should I be quarantined because I'm over 65? I'm perfectly healthy, somebody said of himself. And, you know, there's a point to be made for that as well.
And my question is, how can you just have 10 people in a church service? I don't understand that.
Well, it's like, you know, who are the 10 people?
Exactly.
How do you choose what 10 people? And even, you know, even the, again, if we were little tiny chapel. Mm-hmm. That's one thing. But we're talking about, these are big churches.
Yeah.
Most of the Chicago churches are big. Certainly, in this.
If you're having people wear masks, shouldn't then be you can have as many people as you can? I mean, just social distance, yeah, and that can be done.
I can't. I just can't wrap my head around this. And of course, the archdiocese is they're in deliberations, trying mm-hmm. to decide what to do, how to do, when to do all this. But right now, I think that's the government mandate, right, mm-hmm. that it has to, in the churches, has to be no more than 10 people. So, yeah, figure that out. I hate to say this, but it's almost, in my sense, in my sense is the better thing is keep the door shut.
Yeah.
If you can only have 10 people, right? Because really, you take those who are already.
Well, see, I don't know. Do you include the people like yourself and.
Yeah,
people on the altar itself. I don't know.
And the last thing I want to do is keep the doors shut.
Right.
But it's just, who are the 10 people?
Mm-hmm.
How do you choose those 10 people? That's a source of anxiety and stress in yeah. and of itself, for me, certainly, and for, and then of course, as I mentioned, we had the door open 24/7, 12 years, but when the masses were suspended, we still had the doors open. We had a security guard. We had somebody sanitizing mm-hmm. the church all the while. And that was at that point when we really were getting the worst case scenario yeah. was seemed to be right on the horizon. Now it seems like they're upping it, that it's kind of worse than...
They're saying that, but it's not. I mean, even Illinois itself, I think with all the testing, sure, you're going to have people that are infected per se, but if you're infected, I don't understand what that really means. You could be infected, but then show no signs. You can be infected, and I really believe everyone else, I believe everyone is infected already. I think the people you should watch out for are the people that maybe have the coughs or the sneezes, and a mask is going to keep that taken care of. I just don't understand why even on the lake you have to close it. And I know there are those people that, A, maybe don't understand or basically don't care or basically are tired of being obedient and seeing that there's two different sides to this.
So when you speak about the lakefront or the river mm-hmm. walk or, you know, if you see a group of people tightly congregated, mm-hmm. then just, you know, break it up, but let people. I mean, the people are, you know, as it is, people are.
What if it's a family?
Yeah.
What's the harm? No, no, everyone in the same
house
going.
No, I'm just saying.
But I mean, that's the thing. Sure. And again, who is anyone to break it up? I mean, there's no. To me, I think we're at the stage, and I don't want to be that guy to give out the wrong information. But I'm trying to use my own common sense here by saying, okay, we've kind of seen the worst of this, and it's still an unfolding thing, but it's shown that keeping people at home is not really, it's not helping, or at the point that we can do as much as we can do, the world has to open up. I mean, you can't have everybody at home all the time.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. And there's a way, even with any virus, we have to be able to catch some of it to create the antibodies.
Right.
I don't get it.
I'm with you in that.
Even more so than that, and I'm glad Armin was here to say it. I mean, again, I'm getting tired of it being said that the church is non-essential.
Sure. No, that's
or now, okay, right. We're going to sure. open it, but 10 at a time. No, you open the church. There's other things that are open. You can go get, like Armin says, a hammer or something at a hardware store. You can go to, you know, get liquor to a certain time, but oh no, not after 9 o'clock now. Again, see, this is all just.
Yeah, we're in the twilight zone. You know, this yeah. is, it's all surreal. That's all I can say. It's surreal. And you wake up in the morning, you don't want to get out of bed. You have to force yourself to do what you, it's very hard to focus.
Yeah.
I spent all day yesterday trying to get this letter ready for the bulletin. It takes, mm-hmm. you know, you need focus. You need prayer. You need focus. And I, I just keep hearing myself, and I get frustrated because I feel like I'm blocking the Holy Spirit in that in this sense, you know. And I'm just tired of hearing myself. But this is, as I said, you know, if you're disoriented, if you're in the fog, you're disoriented, you can't focus, you can't get out of bed, you have to force yourself to do just about anything. I mean, my gosh, I feel for the families, parents with children, working from home, trying to see to it that their children are doing their e-learning. The whole thing, and see, this is the other argument to opening things up. You know, first of all, I agree with you. Nobody wants, you know, it's the same thing. Like we don't want to put anybody in harm's way.
No.
But it's just for instance, okay, this is on the side, and forgive me because I'm here and there and everywhere, all over the place. But I was reading about this interview with Pope Benedict. That was I forgot the guy's name. In any case, I've got it here somewhere. So you're talking about unable to focus. It was an interview that was done not too long ago. But there's a book that's being put out. It won't be out in English until the autumn. I think it's been published in Peter Seewald. I think it's been published in. Mm-hmm. It was published in Germany yesterday, or the day before, probably yesterday. And it's called Benedict the 16th, a biography. And there's a quote in the book. He says, the Pope said, Pope Benedict, a century ago, anyone would have thought it absurd to talk about homosexual marriage. Today, those who oppose it are excommunicated from society. Wow. It's the same thing with abortion and creating human life in the laboratory. The real threat to the church is in the global dictatorship of purportedly humanist ideologies. The liberal media are terrified of the truth, especially when it leads to uncomfortable questions about their own leftist worldview. So even to say that today, it's exactly what he says. You're excommunicated from society if you oppose homosexual marriage, you oppose abortion, then you're automatically you're not supporting the right of a woman, or you're not you're discriminating against, or you're hateful of people with homosexual inclinations or whatever, and that's not the case.
Exactly.
But it's the same thing now with this. You know, to speak about the virus, or trying to navigate through this, and mm-hmm. trying to use common sense, and trying to understand. You know, if you don't adhere to the party line, who and what is the party line? And who are the experts? You know, because
exactly.
The experts. Are
these experts
in conflict
don't seem
one
expert.
With another? No, well, there's contradictory opinions or based on data,
it's,
whatever.
It's almost like
if you don't hold the party line, you know, and that is really, you know, to fearmonger, you know, mm-hmm. Make you afraid, instill into you and keep you in fear, so that you keep yourself in lockdown. So that you're wearing a mask, even to the point that you make yourself sick from doing this, then if you try to counter that with common sense, you're excommunicated. You know, this is really strange. This is what's so surreal, and this is why I feel like we're in this in a twilight zone. You go through the city, it feels like the city is everything is vacant.
Yeah. I've seen that, although now it looks like there's more traffic but it's still not where it should be. And, you know,
because people are going to get, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
People want to get out, right?
Yeah.
When I say the vacancy, you know, you look at all the restaurants, you think of all, I think always of all these people now who are out of work. I just heard today that United has laid off 3,000. That's 3,000 people right here in Chicago, I think.
This is what's going to start happening now because, okay, you're closed down. I mean, there's places where, country didn't close down and they're not all dead. You know, I don't understand I do understand what this is. It's fear. That's all it is.
Control.
It's fear to control. That's if I have people
But you say that and you're the
wrong.
You're the problem.
Yeah, I'm the problem.
And you're trying.
I'm going to kill somebody.
Yeah.
Basically, is what I'm going to be told.
And if you protest,
don't do that.
It's
not like we have the right to.
You're called Nazis.
Right.
Nazis. I'm not going to say who said that over the weekend, but anyway, it's just really, really, really strange. All right. What else, Tony?
We can talk all day.
I know. It's like
I almost want to hear something of comfort because it's
like. You're right. And no. But
I don't mean to be that guy, but you see how things really are and you try to look between the lines and you just get angrier. And I'm at the point where I'm not as angry as I was, but I'm still angry.
Yeah, people are reaching the tipping point and wonder how long this is going to go on and how long people are going to, just stay quiet.
Well, some states are opening up again and we're slowly, in a way, doing it, but we're just, it's not the way it should be.
Yeah, but I don't want to act irresponsibly. A pandemic is a pandemic, but where did this come from? How is it being used? How is it being politicized and all that? And where's it going? And how's it going to leave us? And what are the ramifications of I'm thinking of the economic. Because I heard this morning, I received a message from somebody about the number of people that she knows who have been been afflicted with this, and some who have died, and so it is a reality, and it has to be dealt with. Hey, we're going to take a break. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. It's just the way it is. It's because we're all dealing with it.
Yes.
We're all.
I think it's good to hear people deal with this because you hear it from. Everywhere you go, I mean,
the problem is you don't know who to trust anymore. You don't know who to believe.
And a church is closed, so you really can't get the solace that one gets.
Well, that's the point I'm making. Then we'll take a break. In this email message I sent yesterday was that this has to be absolutely essential that we know. And I says, as priests. Because this is to bishops or priests, I says, as priests that in just as Jesus would go to an out of the way place, he needed to go into the desert or into the wilderness or to the top of a mountain. He had to remove himself from the people in order to re-energize, to be re-strengthened, to commune with his Father, in order to re-engage. And so, people. Because we know we live in a radically secularized society. We know the reality of what's happening in the family, in marriages, in the home, unfortunately, the bad stuff. On one hand, we can say, yes, this is an opportunity for families to come together in prayer and to be creative and to. But the reality is, not everybody shares the faith. In most families, it's not shared. And oftentimes it's one or two, oftentimes it's one who is keeping the faith and others have little or no regard for the faith or may be in fact hostile to the faith. And so trying to manage and to keep peace and harmony and know how to, keep oneself sane and from, going over the edge, because you're being depleted of energy as you're trying to safeguard harmony and order within this family or wherever you live with whomever you happen to be with. You need people of faith. They need the sacred space of sanctuary so that they can you know, just place themselves quietly, peacefully, in a silent way. And even if, you know, there are other people, you know, because I'm saying, you know, I'm arguing now for just keeping, having the churches open. Even if you say, okay, we can't have the public celebration of the Mass, but at least let people come together. And we know that when people come for private prayer, they're not, they come for private. There's a solace knowing that others are in the church praying, but they keep distant. They naturally they keep distant one from another. So it's essential. It's mm-hmm. essential. It's needed for the psychological and spiritual sanity of our people. Certainly those who have the faith, and even those who may not have the faith, but who all of a sudden they're trying to grapple with this new reality, and it's an opportunity. It's a moment of grace, and so let them come into this sacred space, because as I said, there's a power that emanates from the mm-hmm. Blessed Sacrament, and so God is present there. It's not like we're looking at a dot over just you know, navel gazing, but it's really to place ourselves in the presence of the incarnate God who comes to us mysteriously under the hidden guise of bread and wine, the blessed sacrament. So anyway, we'll take a break. We'll be right back on Father Anthony. You're listening to listener supported Winds of Change in AM 750 WNDZ.
Here's an open letter to the parishioners of St. Stanislaus Kostka from Father Anthony Bush. Due to the social unrest in Chicago, I have closed St. Stanislaus Kostka until further notice. The area around the Three Corners area, the streets of Milwaukee Division and Ashland, have been severely damaged and looted. The last thing we want is to put anyone at risk. The area around St. Stanislaus Kostka is considered high risk for violence, and the streets are blocked to curtail unnecessary movement. We are in a high-risk area along with many neighborhoods and communities in Chicago. St. Stanislaus Kostka is under security surveillance. Until further notice, St. Stan's will not live stream the Mercy Hour. Everyone should stay home and not venture into the area around St. Stanislaus Kostka. Please be assured of my prayers for peace and the restoration of order in Chicago and throughout the nation. I know you are praying as well. During this COVID-19 virus pandemic, offering you prayer and inspiration through your faith.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Because of the unprecedented COVID-19 virus pandemic, the Providence Soup Kitchen at St. Stan's needs your immediate help. The Soup Kitchen is asking for your donations of water, juice boxes, individual food servings, hand sanitizers, and Lysol. The Providence Soup Kitchen at St. Stan's is operating regular hours during this pandemic. The Soup Kitchen is operated by the Daughters of St. Mary Providence from the basement of St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, which serves over 21,000 meals per year. To offer your help, please call Sister Darlene at 773-870-2435. That number again is 773-870-2435. Thank you.
Okay, everybody, welcome back. Anything else? Armin, no. Anything else before you? Just,
I think Armin's going to reprimand you for being late.
I don't care.
No, I'm not. We're
yeah, we're on time. We're doing pretty well.
We're moving on.
We've had two breaks.
You know me, I don't like to move on.
That's right. No, everything's fine. I'm just can't. I'm not happy that I can't go to Mass on Sunday, and yep. I'm late. I'm letting various people know about that. I've been writing a lot of emails lately.
We keep doing it, and you do. You write to anybody and everybody, right?
I imagine a black helicopter will be flying over my house soon.
So I spoke to somebody this morning who was in Detroit for a Mass, and they do have the drones in. Detroit, that's what I was told, monitoring.
Well, you see, there's a thing. These are These are Chinese drones, and the State Department has banned their use in the military and, you know, because they're gathering data. They can see where people live, and it's not a good thing. I'm surprised that I'm not advocating this, But I could imagine somebody who can't get to a trap shooting range might mistake that for a clay target.
It's interesting, yeah. Could happen.
That's what I was going to do. Who told you that?
Anyway. All right. The Pope's mini lesson. This is Pope Francis now, not Pope Benedict. How to discern if God or Satan is speaking. Because we are most definitely in a spiritual battle. I truly believe. I was thinking this morning of those words of Pope John Paul II before he went to the papacy. I bring it up many times, but it's always there, not in the back of my mind, but it's always kind of at the forefront. This coupled with what we know from sacred scripture and from the teachings of the church. And you just, you know, I think it's a wise thing to listen to the prophets, you know, down through the ages, you know, even in contemporary, in our own in contemporary time, or what would you say this in the modern time, or postmodern, or post-Christian, whatever. It's however you want to identify this time in which we live. But I think I mentioned last week about the different apparitions of the Blessed Virgin Mary, who basically prepared and warned us, you know, that this was all coming. So it shouldn't really surprise us. But I always remember Pope John Paul II, who said that I do not think the Christian world or the world in general realizes we are against, or we are up, we're up against the final confrontation between the church and the anti-church, the gospel and the anti-gospel, the Christ and the antichrist. And he said this is a trial that is this is all under divine providence, a trial that we have to take up. I've often bring up the words of Pope Benedict, who said the false deities will be unmasked through the suffering faith of simple believers. And going back to what Pope Benedict did say, that I just spoke about this, but that if we oppose the abortion, the manipulation of young children affecting their psychosexual development, because this is what's happening, you know, this infiltration into academia from the earliest, already you're talking about kindergarten and preschool and all that. You see what's happened to the marriage, the redefining of marriage, the perversion, just the pornography, the industry, in everything. You follow the money, you know. They always say follow the money. But it's true. If we stand against that, we are excommunicated from the society. I've always said that, you know, it's like we're being pushed to the fringe of society. But I like this these words of Pope Benedict Emeritus, but that we've been excommunicated from society. We don't deserve to have a voice. This is ludicrous, but it's reality. It's becoming reality, you know?
Yes, it is.
So in any case, so it is a spiritual battle. It is either it does feel like we're in Armageddon, you know, that this seems like a very apocalyptic the time we're living in. It is certainly is a twilight zone. It is surreal. People, and part of the difficulty right now, and I was talking to somebody this morning, and everybody I talk to, you know, it's the same thing. You know, it's the very thing I talked about, the fog. Mm-hmm. Don't want to go to bed early. Don't want to get out of bed. Don't want to get out of bed in the morning. Unable to focus. Tired, always tired. These are people who have, you know, always been energetic and always in the work. I was thinking this morning it would be, and I'm reluctant to say it because people might start calling, but I don't have the psychic energy. I was thinking, you know, because I did this before, I would have home masses, you know, and I'd like to do that, but I need the psychic energy. The psychic sounds kind of psychic, right? I need the...
What do you mean by that?
But what I'm saying by that is that I'm kind of in this depression too, where you feel you feel like you're being crushed. You feel like you've got the whole world just, you know, weighing you down.
And but that's so the thing about work. That's the thing about work. Many people, and I find myself doing this too. you try to overcome. You know, you don't want to do things, but you go out and you do it. That's what the work is. But then when you take that away from you and you kind of put you in a state of you don't know what tomorrow is, you don't know if you're doing the right thing, and on top of that, you're told to do specific things like stay inside.
Sure.
So that sap you. It pulls the energy out of you.
Yeah, and even, as I mentioned, home mass, we're forbidden to do any of that.
Yeah.
We can't do any of that.
That is ludicrous. It's just ludicrous.
Yeah. But those are the directives, you know.
You will obey.
Because you know, and then if somebody should get, and so this is the again, I'm repeating the fear, but do I want to be the culprit causing you to get the virus?
I think we have to do prudent things. I don't think we need to buy into the mass hysteria that's out there. If you look at what has occurred with the prognostications from the various projections, they've been wrong. And it's interesting to note that just when it's a crucial time, when we're thinking of opening things up a bit, there's another projection of gloom and doom
from
30,000 people dying every month to 200,000.
That's right. That's
it's
exactly
ridiculous.
Right.
It's ridiculous. It's absurd. And
it's so true. That's you just
it does kind of sound like the boy that cried wolf. The boy that cried wolf.
No, I think it's a contrivance myself.
But it's so true, because on Friday it was as if we had hope that we're gonna be able to open up, and then all of a sudden, bang! Just like you said, it was all of a sudden the new news.
You know, I can't take credit for saying you must stay home. I was quoting our mayor
and others.
I sounded just like you.
All right. God, do I want to get into this? I said, gosh.
Time for a break, actually.
Is it time for
time
a break?
Time for a
again?
Break and then
Let's take a break.
Let's do that.
The men are at the door to take me away.
Yeah. Oh, I have to tell you this. So this is the other thing. That you see a lot of strange things out there now. And I find, too, you know, I tend to drive more aggressively. Much more aggressively. And so you got to be careful when you're out there driving. I said, I try to take a little trip, you know, once a day. Usually late in the afternoon, sometimes later. But yesterday I was, because I couldn't focus, and so it was maybe about 12:30. Mary was here. She was on the radio. Mm-hmm. I took off at 12:30. I just have to get out. I got to think about this so I can get this letter together, which I still haven't done. And I'm going down Kinzie to LaSalle. Went south on LaSalle, you know, where all the banks are and the trades. What is it? The World
Board of Trade.
Board of Trade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I see four doctors in the white coats with stethoscopes, and there's a – I thought I was just – is this a figment of my imagination or what? And there's a woman at the center in the center of the street, and you've got two doctors around her two doctors – and these are these long white coats.
Yeah.
There were, I think, three men and one woman. Mm-hmm. And so at first I thought, well, they're going to stop me, and they're going to take my a test and see. You know, I swear, this was the weirdest.
I give up.
It was the weirdest thing, and I went by. I was very, very slow because they're in the middle of the street with this woman. So I thought, well, maybe they're, you know, this woman's gone off the. She's gone over the edge,
right.
And they're there to try to take her back
Bring
to
her
the
back.
Home or whatever. Because they had the long white coats, but when I went by, they were laughing. They were, you know, I thought, what is this? No, I don't know. So as I, and it, of course, there's not a lot of traffic and that's all shut down. And I went down LaSalle purposely to avoid Michigan Avenue because they're doing all kinds of work.
Did you notice cameras?
Well, I didn't. But later I was telling somebody, they said they might have been filming something, you know. But it was the weirdest thing. And so as I kept looking in my back, the rear view mirror to see what was going on, even as I wanted to take a ride around again to see what, in fact, is happening here.
Chicago Fire, perhaps, or Chicago Med.
But I didn't.
Well, I thought they would have closed the street, though.
I didn't see any cameras, but there might have been something somewhere. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Wow.
But it was weird. It was strange. So somebody actually said, when I mentioned, they said, you know, they're filming doctors and nurses and all that, and they're doing things with this COVID-19 coronavirus, whatever. Mm-hmm. So it could have been, but who knows? Anyway, we'll take a break and then we'll come back and maybe we'll talk about the, you know, how to know whether, what was the topic here?
I like when Armin's here.
How to discern if God or Satan is speaking.
It's all my fault.
So we'll be right back. Father Anthony, you're listening to Listen, Support, Winds of Change in AM 750 WNDZ.
Here's an open letter to the parishioners of St. Stanislaus Kostka from Father Anthony Bush. Due to the social unrest in Chicago, I have closed St. Stanislaus Kostka until further notice. The area around the Three Corners area, the streets of Milwaukee Division and Ashland, have been severely damaged and looted. The last thing we want is to put anyone at risk. The area around St. Stanislaus Kostka is considered high risk for violence, and the streets are blocked to curtail unnecessary movement. We are in a high-risk area along with many neighborhoods and communities in Chicago. St. Stanislaus Kostka is under security surveillance. Until further notice, St. Stan's will not live stream the Mercy Hour. Everyone should stay home and not venture into the area around St. Stanislaus Kostka. Please be assured of my prayers for peace and the restoration of order in Chicago and throughout the nation. I know you are praying as well.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Because of the unprecedented COVID-19 virus pandemic, the Providence Soup Kitchen at St. Stan's needs your immediate help. The Soup Kitchen is asking for your donations of water, juice boxes, individual food servings, hand sanitizers, and Lysol. The Providence Soup Kitchen at St. Stan's is operating regular hours during this pandemic. The Soup Kitchen is operated by the Daughters of St. Mary Providence from the basement of St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, which serves over 21,000 meals per year. To offer your help, please call Sister Darlene at 773-870-2435. That number again is 773-870-2435. Thank you.
Welcome back, everybody, as we wrap up now. So I do want to, something caught my attention this morning, and I was going to go, I read this very, very quick, and there was, I got to see if I can find it now, what caught my attention, but this was kind of interesting because it's the Pope's mini lesson, Pope Francis's mini lesson, how to discern if God or Satan is speaking. And because if you recall the gospel on Sunday, the Lord, the sheep, the gospel says that the sheep hear my voice, mm-hmm. as he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. The Lord calls us by name. He calls us because he loves us, but the gospel then tells us there are other voices not to be followed, those of strangers, thieves, who mean to harm the sheep. And so these different voices resonate within us, and there is the voice of God who speaks kindly to the conscience, and there is the tempting voice that leads to evil. And how can we recognize the voice of the good shepherd rather than that of the thief? How can we distinguish the inspiration of God from the suggestion of the evil one? And so the Holy Father did this little mini lesson, go through it very, very quick here. Number one, the question, am I still free? Because the voice of God never forces us. God proposes himself, he does not impose himself. Instead, the evil voice seduces, assails, forces. It arouses dazzling illusions, emotions that are tempting but transient. Another question to ask ourselves is, am I being flattered? Mm-hmm. At first, it flatters. It makes us believe that we are all powerful, but then it leaves us empty inside and accuses us, you are worth nothing. The voice of God instead corrects us with great patience, but always encourages us, consoles us. It always nourishes hope. Am I looking forward? That's another question. Because the voice of God is a voice that has a horizon. This is what caught my attention. Whereas the voice of evil leads you to a wall, it backs you into a corner. And see, I say this because right now that's how we, even as we're talking, mm-hmm. it's as if we've been backed into a corner. I use the word, we're being, this feeling of being crushed, And so we this is where, you know, as we pray, we've got to, you know, know that we look out. that the voice of God has a horizon. In other words, we're going to get through this one way or another. Even if, you know, if it's really death before us, we should be able to see that that's not the end in and of itself, but beyond that, you know, there is the fullness of life if we're living in the faith and the grace of God. So I thought that was interesting. And maybe all of this is, maybe this is the devil working on all of us right now. And indeed, it, as I say, there is a spiritual battle here. There is a component to this. It is truly, it's a spiritual battle. Am I present? Am I in the present moment? This is another difference. The voice of the enemy distracts us from the present and wants us to focus on fears of the future and sadness about the past. The enemy does not want the present. He brings to the surface the bitterness, the memories of wrong suffered, of those who have hurt us, many bad memories. Instead, the voice of God speaks to the present. Now you can do good. Now you can exercise the creativity of love. Now you can renounce the regrets and remorse that hold your heart captive. It inspires us. It leads us ahead. But it speaks in the present, in the now. Actually, that's very important. Again, this is maybe a response to everything we've been talking about up to this point. And then finally, a few more. Is it about my ego? Again, the two voices raise different questions in us. That which comes from God will be, what is good for me? Instead, the tempter will insist on another question, what do I feel like doing? What I feel like, the evil voice always revolves around the ego, its impulses, its needs, everything straight away. It is like the tantrums of a child, everything and now. The voice of God instead never promises joy at a low price. It invites us to go beyond our ego to find the true good, peace. What aftertaste does it leave? Let us remember, evil never gives us peace. It causes frenzy first and leaves bitterness later. This is the style of evil. Well, I tell you, I guess it's like God is kind of answering.
Yeah,
this is
how it works.
Counters everything that we've talked about, you know, because we feel frenzied and mm-hmm. and there's a bitterness and there's a who do you believe, who do you trust, and these are good questions, but we got to know the person of reference is God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Am I seeking light or hiding? The voice of God and that of the tempter finally speak in different environments. The enemy prefers darkness, falsehood, and gossip. The Lord loves sunlight, truth, and sincere transparency. So true. Am I led to trust? The enemy will say, close yourself up in yourself. Besides, no one understands and listens to you. Don't trust anyone. Goodness, on the contrary, invites us to open up, to be clear, and trusting in God and in others. So, the point is that we pay attention to the voices that reach our hearts and ask ourselves where they come from. Let us ask for the grace to recognize and follow the voice of the Good Shepherd, who brings us out of the enclosures of selfishness and leads us to the pastures of true freedom. If we do not adhere to God, there are consequences.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord, all under divine providence, we have to put our trust in Him, surrender all things to Him. Okay, everybody, thanks so much for being with us. Be safe, be sane. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
To say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deep for truth or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong. but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. Let's time.